is mustahab, is better, while the others they inclined towards it to be must. And this hadith is in the collection of Bukhari and also in Muslim and Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Al-Bayhaqi wa Ibn Abi Shaybah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is taking, is saying wajib, a compulsory or must. Okay. Some scholars they understood that is not wajib because the incident that happened between Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, which is authentic, and Uthman, and in some narration said Iman came in to the masjid. And while Umar was giving the khutbah, and he told him, do you know what hour it is? Like he admonished him for coming late. And he said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, and she also shows you the permissibility of the Imam talking with individuals during Jum'ah. Okay? The Muslims, they are not supposed to talk to each other during the khutbah. But the Imam has the right to talk to people while he's making the khutbah, or the people can talk to the Imam if there is a necessity. So here Umar was giving the khutbah, and after this Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, came in, and he was admonishing him for coming late. And he said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I was busy in the market and didn't pay attention to the time, and I found it is so close, so I ran to my house and I made wudu, and I came. And says that only wudu, okay? So from this we understand that in some cases that a person didn't have the chance to take a full shower, that the wudu will be sufficient. Because they said, if it is wajib and must, that Umar was not going to accept from him only having wudu, and he will tell him that you have to go and make ghusl before attending Jum'ah, or otherwise the Jum'ah is not acceptable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And as I said, some of the scholars they understood from other ahadith, which we going inshallah, the next hadith which is coming after this, which shows you also why some of the scholars they understood that the ghusl and the bath in Yawm al-Jum'ah is not must but is mustahab. Which hadith is seen عن سمرة ابن جندب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من توضأ يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمة ومن اغتسل فالغسل أفضل. Okay. That عن سمرة ابن جندب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من توضأ يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمة ومن اغتسل فالغسل أفضل رواه الخمسة. This hadith is حسن, is good, okay. And this hadith is narrated in the collection of الإمام أحمد رضي الله رحمة الله عليه, as well as الترمذي, Ibn Majah, Nisa'i, and Sheikh Al-Albani referred to this hadith to be Hasan. Narrated Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taking a bath on Friday is a must for every adult. 101 saying narrated Samra radiyallahu an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever performs ablution on Friday has done a good thing, and he who takes bath, taking bath is better for him. Alright? So, now from this hadith also, some of the scholars they understood that taking shower is not a must in the day of Jum'ah, because here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that whosoever make ablution, that he didn't do anything except ablution, is okay, is acceptable, and whosoever took a shower, that this is the and this is the proper thing that you should do. And from here we can see why some of the scholars said that is not a must but is mustahab. Hadith 102, page number 48. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرئنا القرآن ما لم يكن جنبا. Again, عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرئنا القرآن ما لم يكن جنبا. The hadith which reported from Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach us the Quran except when he was in a state of sexual impurity. Okay? That the only thing used to stop the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach them Quran, that after having intercourse with his wife and he didn't take a shower, a bath yet. This used to be the only thing to stop him. But as we understand that the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not mean that such matter is prohibited, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be doing something because this is the better or this is best, okay? But if it's something to say that this is haram or this forbidden, this will be a different story. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقضي حاجته ثم يخرج فيقرأ القرآن ويأكل معنا اللحم ولا يحجبه وربما قال لا يحجزه من القرآن شيء ليس الجنابة. وقد أخرج هذا الحديث أيضا ابن خزيمة والحاكم والبزار والدارقطني والبيهقي وصححه أيضا ابن السكن عبد الحق والبغوي في شرح السنة وأعله الشافعي وقال خطابي كان أحمد يوهن هذا الحديث. And anyway, the hadith is that the only thing used to stop the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us the Quran. Okay, that means even if after using the bathroom that he don't have wudu, he still teaches us the Quran. But after being in sexual impurity, if this is the proper term to use, okay, that this will stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of teaching us our Quran. But as I said, this is, doesn't mean that is haram. It may be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it out of what is better, not what is haram, what is halal. Hadith number 103, the same page, which is 48. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتى أحدكم أهله ثم أراد أن يعود فليتوضأ بينهما وضوءا. رواه مسلم. Okay. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتى أحدكم أهله ثم أراد أن يعود فليتوضأ بينهما وضوءا. رواه مسلم. حديث 103 narrated by أبو سعيد الخدري that Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said if one of you has sexual intercourse with his wife and he wishes to repeat, he should perform ablution between them, between the first time and the second time or the second and third, whatever, okay? Again, that is say, if one of you has a sexual intercourse with his wife and wishes to repeat, he should perform ablution between them. And the hadith is authentic. And in narration of Al-Hakim, is a addition was said, ablution makes one active for repeating the sexual act, okay? Because as you may already knew that how a person after performing this act that it takes both his body in tiredness or fatigue, so touching the water after this it gave him some activity or waking him up more, it will give him more strength or more to make him more active to be able to repeat the act again. وللاربعه عن عائشه رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينام وهو جنب من غير ان يمس ماء وهو معلول. اوكي. وللاربعه عن عائشه رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينام وهو جنب من غير ان يمس ماء وهو معلول. And this is still another version. And this addition has defect and is da'if. Although that been reported in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi. And the problem here with Abu Ishaq. Okay. But anyway, as I said, the hadith has a defect. But let me explain what we're talking about. Narrated Al-Arba'ah, that Aisha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sleep in the state of sexual impurity without touching water. That means without making ghusl or making wudu. And the hadith is weak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after sexual intercourse, if he did not take a bath, at least he will do wudu, and after this he will go to sleep, and later on when he wake up he will take a full shower. So if a person for some reason that he's tired or late or it's cold or he doesn't feel to take a shower after sexual intercourse with his wife, so at least he should perform a wudu, and after this he will go to sleep, and later on he wake up that he can perform a full shower. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اغتسل من الجنابة يبدأ فيغسل يده ثم يفرغ بيمينه على شماله فيغسل فرجه ثم يتوضأ ثم يأخذ الماء فيدخل أصابعه في أصول الشعر ثم حفن على رأسي ثلاث حفنات ثم أفاض على سائر جسده ثم غسل رجليه. متفق عليه. حديث is number 104 narrated from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Whenever the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took ghusl, which means a full shower or bath, after sexual intercourse, he would begin by washing his hands, then pour water with his right hand on his left hand and wash his sexual organ. He would then perform ablution, then take some water and run his finger through the roots of his hair. Then he would pour 3 handfuls on his head, then pour water over the rest of his body and continue washing his feet. Or lately, or in the end, he will wash his feet. So this hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim, and also is in Al-Bukhari as well as Al-Tirmidhi. That Aisha, may Allah please with her, explaining to us how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wash and purify himself after having intercourse with his wife. So first he will go and wash his hands, alright? And after this he will take the water which is in a bucket or a teapot, whatever, and after this he will take from the right and pour on the left. Okay? And after this he will wash. Pour with the right on the left and wash. Now after you wash your hands out of the pot, now you can dig or you put your hands in the pot if you want. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take some water and he put it in his hair and he will try to reach the roots of his hair. Okay? He will try to reach the roots of his hair. No, excuse me. And after this he will take the water with the right hand on the left hand and wash, and after this he will wash his private parts. Okay? And after this he will make wudu. So let me go back again. The first thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will wash his hands. Okay? And after this he will hold the bucket or the container of the water with the right hand and he pour on the left hand. Okay? And he will use this to wash his organs or his private parts. Okay? After he do this, he will make wudu like he make a wudu for salah. Okay? The only thing different that he doesn't wash his feet. After this he will take from the water and go in his head and will make sure that the water reach his scalp, the roots of his hair. And after this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will take like three handsful of water, okay, and put over his head. And after this he will wash the right side of his body and after this the left side. And after he finished this, he will wash his feet. Should I say it one time more? Okay. This is a ghusl, a full complete ghusl, especially after intercourse. That the person, and now we don't have, you understand, this buckets and things like this, but we see these things in case a person camping someplace or he don't have a shower, that the person first he will wash his hands, remove any impurity or any dirty things in his hands, and after this he will pour water, or if the water running he will wash his private parts. After washing the private parts you will start making wudu, like any time you make wudu, washing hands, mouth, nose, face, arms, everything. Okay, the only thing excluded what? The feet. And after this the person will take water in his hand and he will go rubbing his scalp, going to the roots of his hair in his head, his or hair. And after this he will take hands full with water three times and pour on the head. And after this he will wash the right side of the body, and after this the left side of the body, and after this he will wash your feet. And this will be what? A complete wudu and ghusl. That means you can go make salah after this. Okay, you don't have to make wudu. This will be called a ghusl. This is a complete bath or a complete shower for a person to purify himself from one second please. Yes. Yes, yes, for sure. You have to have a niyyah. There is no action except you have to make intention. Okay? You have to make intention. No, soap is not required. If a person use soap, okay, after using soap, as example, if you wash in your private parts with soap, you have to remove this soap from your body when you start to take the shower, before you do the shower. Bismillah. If you are in a place that only a shower, no toilet there, you say Bismillah. If not, you say Bismillah in yourself. Okay? Mujahid. Yes. Yes, akhi, go ahead. Alright, inshallah, we'll see you in half an hour. Assalamu alaikum. We stop here, inshallah, and if it's time for azan, please call the azan. It's sufficient for the. We were talking about a person breaking his salah because emergency, and he was standing in the first rank. We say he can leave because the sutra for the imam will be sufficient to be sutra for the mu'min. You are not supposed to pray to walk in front of a person who praying, but if this person is behind the imam, as long as you are not crossing in front of the imam, this is okay for you to do it. We inshallah go back to what we were talking originally about it. Continuation of hadith number 104, page number 49. وَلَهُمَا, okay, that mean in Bukhari and Muslim, في حديث ميمونة ثم أفرغ على فرجه وغسله بشماله ثم ضرب بها على الأرض. Okay, narrated ميمونة رضي الله عنها that messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم poured water over his private parts and washed them with his left hand. He then struck his hand against the earth. Okay, so after a person, before taking the ghusl for the janaba, and the person starting by washing his private parts, now cleaning your hands, because in that time maybe they don't have things like the soap, okay, they have something similar, but maybe it's not available all the times, so you can use the dirt as a means of cleanliness for your hand before you start your regular shower for the janaba. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he washed his private parts, okay, because this is includes some impurity and some filth, so he strikes the ground with his hand, okay, like you're rubbing your hand with dirt and things like this, will be a means and way to clean your hand from whatever that may touch your hand as a result of cleaning of private parts. And after this he will start do the normal thing for washing, like making wudu first, okay, like we said the intention, and say bismillah and washing your hands, mouth, nose, face, hands, the elbow, wipe your head, your ears, and after this you will take water and reach to the scalp, to the roots of your hair, and after this you will fill your two hands with water and put on top of your head three times, and after this you will wash the right side of your body, and after this you will go to the left side of your body, and after this you will wash your feet, and this your two feet, and this will be a complete ghusl. So this narration will have the addition of that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam strike the ground with his hand, and in another narration فَمَسَحَهَا بِالتُّرَاب, okay, that he he rubbed it on the earth. And in the last of this ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُ بِالْمَنْدِيلِ فَرَدَّهُ, then I brought him a towel, but he returned it and kept wiping of his wiping off the water with his hand. Okay, there is a different understanding among the scholars concerning this issue, that because the word faraddahu, okay, or falam yaruddahu, there is more than one hadith concerning this. Some scholars, they understood that Rasulullah ﷺ, when he been given the towel, that he refused it, okay? And in this narration, it say وَجَعَلَ يَنْفُضُ الْمَاءِ بِيَدَهِ, and he was doing what? Wiping or removing the water with his hand. This can be possibility, be number one, the answer to this, okay? As I said, the confusion or the different understanding came as a result of the word itself, okay, ra and dal and ha is the same word, that the same other scholars they understood that falam yaruddaha al faram yaridha, that he didn't want it or that he did not return it. But as we said, the action does not show that this is haram, okay? So maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do also things out of his nature or his I don't want to use the word culture, his his own habit, okay, his own personal habit. Some people, they don't like to be using towels, or in some places that because the weather, people, they like to keep water on their body and they put their clothes on like this, keep them cool, okay. So this does not mean to become a religious obligation, because if somebody, as example, living in a place like Alaska or Ramad or whatever in Boston and in cold weather, and after he take a ghusl, now he said, oh, the hadith said that you could not use a towel. The hadith did not say you could not use a towel. The hadith said that, according to some scholars, that he did not use the towel. Okay? So, being the Prophet ﷺ did not use the towel, does not mean you could not use the towel if you want to use the towel. Okay? But as I said, there is a different understanding among the scholars concerning this issue. Did he return it, or that mean he refused it, or that he did not refuse it and he used it? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we understand the necessity now of washing the hands before dipping them in the water, especially if you just waking up or that you have janaba, you shouldn't stick your hands in the bucket of water before washing your hands out of the bucket and before you dip your hands in it. And also the proper order of taking a ghusl. And as I said, this hadith is already authentic because it is in collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi. Let's go to the next hadith, inshallah. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله إني امرأة أشد شعر رأسي أفأنقضه لغسل الجنابة وفي رواية وللحيضة قال لا إنما يكفيك أن تحثي على رأسك ثلاث حثيات رواه مسلم. Let's try the other one, the second version. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله إني امرأة أشد شعر رأسي أفأنقضه لغسل الجنابة وفي رواية وللحيضة فقال لا إنما يكفيك أن تحثي على رأسك ثلاث حثيات رواه مسلم. Narrated Umm Salama radiallahu anha, I said, O Messenger of Allah, I am a woman with tightly plaited hair on my head. Should I undo it for taking a bath from sexual intercourse? In another version is from menstruation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, it is enough for you to throw three handfuls of water on your head. Okay? This hadith, which Umm Salama, may Allah please with her, due to the tightness of her braids, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is one thing we have to learn, how the Sahaba, even the women themselves, they used to be so concerned about learning their deen, and how they used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him. And we saw before how this woman came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something which maybe even it makes some people feel shy, ask him about the wet dream. And another one asked him about the menses, how to clean herself from her menses. And this woman coming about talking about the ghusl, should she take her braids off, you understand, to untie them. So the Sahaba used to be so concerned about learning the proper way about their deen, and they used to go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for learning the proper thing. And this should be our attitude, brothers as well as sisters, that we should go and learn about our deen. And from this hadith we understand that to undo the braids is not necessary. It's sufficient that you take the water and make it to reach to your scalp or the roots of your hair. And some of the scholars, they disagree, or some of the scholars differ concerning this issue about the janaba is not must, but for the hide is must, okay? Because the janaba can be repeated. It can be twice a week, it can be once a week, it can be every night, okay? It depends how long the woman have intercourse with her husband. So for her, every time she want to do, to undo her hair, this will be a lot of difficulty. While the menses comes like once a month, okay? So some of the scholars, they said that this made like to be relaxation for the rules, but when it comes about the menses, that she have to undo her braids. But as we see that the hadith here had cover both situation, okay? So it's no necessity, is not a must, but if she did this for the hide, this will be better inshallah. The next hadith, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لا أحل المسجد لحائض ولا جنب. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم again saying إني لا أحل المسجد لحائض ولا جنب. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying I do not permit a woman in menstrual condition or anyone in a state of sexual impurity to enter the mosque. This hadith, although that Ibn Khuzaymah said is sahih, and the hadith in also in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Bayhaqi, Sheikh Al-Albani in his book Al-Irwa had classified this hadith to be weak. Okay, Sheikh Al-Albani had classified this hadith to be weak, and this in his book Al-Irwa. From this we understand if the hadith is weak that we could not use it or as a ruling for this, and this is not prohibited the mask for a ha'id or junub. That mean will be permissible for them to enter the mosque. وعنها رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد تختلف أيدينا فيه من الجنابة. متفق عليه. وعنها رضي الله عنها ذات مين عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد تختلف أيدينا فيه من الجنابة. عائشة, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated I and the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم took غسل bath due to sexual impurity from the same vessel and our hands alternate into it. Okay, so this is shows you that is nothing wrong. The hadith first is authentic. Okay, the hadith is muttafaq alayh, the highest degree of authenticity is in Bukhari and Muslim. And this shows that for you to be junub or carrying this condition which you consider janaba, or consider like impurity, but state of impurity, not a physical impurity, that does not mean if you dip your hand in the water that this will make the water junub or make the water impure, that you could not use it. Okay, and also this hadith shows us the permissibility of the man having a ghusl with his wife in the same time or using the same bucket or the same vessel. Hadith 108, page number 51, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن تحت كل شعرة جنابة فاغسلوا الشعر وأنقوا البشرة. رواه أبو داود والترمذي وضعفاه. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن تحت كل شعرة جنابة فاغسلوا الشعر وأنقوا البشرة. This hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, as saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a sexual impurity under every hair, so wash the hair and clean the skin. This hadith is in collection of Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and this hadith is weak. Okay, this hadith is weak, and the problem with this hadith, the defect, why is weak? Because it has Al-Harith ibn Wajih, and he is a weak. And Abu Dawood said Al-Harith, his hadith is munkar. Okay? And by this, inshallah, will be finished the hadith related to Bab al-Ghusl. And this is the last hadith, 108 in this chapter, except if I miss any hadith, please let me know. We talk tonight about hadith number 94 all the way to hadith number 108. And inshallah our next class will be chapter number 9 concerning tayammum, purification using the soil or the substitute in ghusl and wudu using the soil. If anybody have correction, comments, question, we still have about 4 to 5 minutes in our tape. Yes, Amira, did you raise your hand? Or you was waving for me? All right. Any question, comments? Tfaddal. What is the proof a person that, you mean for making the salah or making the salah? Okay. 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 Jazakallah khair. One second. One of the issue fiqh, and this from book Fiqh al-Ibadat by Ustaz al-Fiqh al-Islami and College Sharia al-Qanun, جامعة الأزهر, الأستاذ عبد الوهاب حواس. And this book is using in the American Open University. He had mentioned in page number 68, إذا انتبه من النوم فوجد بلدا ولم يذكر احتلاما فإن تيقن أنه مني فعليه الغسل, لأن الظاهر أن خروجه كان لاحتلام مسبق. فإن شك ولم يعلم هل هو مني أو غيره فالأفضل له غسل احتياطا. وقال مجاهد وقتادة لا غسل عليه حتى يكون بالماء الدافق, لان اليقين بقاء الطهارة. point number دال, رأى في ثوبه منيا لا يعلم وقت حصوله وكان قد صلى, يلزمه اعادة الصلاة من اخر نومة له الا ان يرى ما يدل على انه قبله فيعيد من ادنى نومة يحتمل انه منها. As I said, this is fiqh point is I have no support, except I see how he built it and what basis did he bought this. Okay, but basically that a person that he made his salah without tahara, so this is the only thing. But the brother here that brought the hadith which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen was the meaning is that it been forgiven for my nation what they made by mistake and their forgiveness and what been forced to. So inshallah we'll search this point more and see if was inshallah I'll check this further and get to see if we can give more understanding about it. In actuality, this chapter, yes, sister, the chapter of ghusl, it can go for more, okay, like there is certain ghusl is obligatory, certain ghusl is mustahab, preferably, okay, like before you enter Mecca, as example, or before Umrah and Hajj. So there is more that we can talk about ghusl, but basically what I cover tonight here is what is in the book of Bulugh al-Maram, okay? Otherwise, if we went to the ghusl, will be a lot of things more to talk about ghusl, and only to give example about I'm coming to your question, sister. We can talk about when ghusl is obligatory, okay? And alaykum assalam. What is forbidden for a person that in janaba, all right? Which we mention one of them, okay? About salah. And there is other things which is other scholars said about it, like staying in the mosque, is it? But we don't have a clear-cut evidence about these things, okay? And after this, talking about ghusl al-jum'ah and ghusl for ihram, ghusl for the two Eid, okay? By the way, something very important we want to make clear here, that the ghusl of a woman is exactly like a ghusl of a man. There is no difference between the ghusl for a woman and a ghusl for a man. Also, if a person wants to shave before they take in their ghusl, that they have sexual intercourse and they want to shave under their arms or cut their fingernails, there is nothing to show that this is haram. Okay? Because some people say, okay, your nails now carrying the janaba, and if you cut your nails, now this will be against you in the day of judgment, because he never provided. There is no any evidence about these things, okay? So a person can comb their hair, they can remove certain hairs in order to be removed before they take in the ghusl, although they are in a state of janaba. Sister Umm Ali.